Hello and welcome back to our latest installment of the eMoney Knowledge Base podcast. My name is Brett Tharp, advisory trainer and certified financial planner, and I'm thrilled to be hosting today's episode. And on the menu for today is a topic that frequently comes up in the news and can be hotly contested by pundits in the media, and that topic is Social Security. eMoney offers several approaches to accounting for and demonstrating the impact of various aspects of claiming Social Security benefits. And I'm fortunate to sit down with Jeff Zenko, Senior Client Success Coaching Specialist at eMoney. Jeff's role as a coach allows him to work directly with eMoney software subscribers in a one-on-one environment to provide guidance and best practices for utilizing the software. Join us as we navigate through the various options for capturing Social Security benefits and insights that we have both picked up over our tenure at eMoney. And with all of that said, let's get started. Please be advised that this podcast contains purely educational information, and nothing discussed may be construed as legal, tax, or financial advice. Please consult a financial advisor for any financial investment or money management questions. All views or opinions represented in this podcast are solely the opinion of the speaker and do not represent those of eMoney Advisor LLC or any of its affiliates. Hey, Jeff. Welcome to the Knowledge Base podcast. We are very grateful for your time and for the perspective that you're going to bring today. But before we get started, do you mind just sharing a little bit about yourself and your role at eMoney and just any other professional experience that you've gained throughout your career?
Yeah, sure, Brett. Thanks for that. So I'm a senior success coach here with eMoney. I've been working here about 6.5 years now. I know you just spoke with Anya a little while back, so she's a colleague of mine. Prior to this, I was at Citizens Bank and PNC in an advisory capacity as well. At PNC, I was fortunate enough to use eMoney, and then at Citizens, I had used MoneyGuide Pro as well. So got a look at that, and loving it here at eMoney.
Appreciate that, and now that the audience knows a little bit more about you, they already know enough about me, but let's get into the primary topic for today's episode. Unless you've been living under a rock for the last couple of years, you probably heard Social Security come up in the news. And as you have a lot of experience working with some of the newer advisors to our platform, I figured you'd be a great person to kind of pick your brain about how Social Security typically comes up in your coaching engagements. So would you mind just walking us through maybe some of the initial options for specifying Social Security benefits in eMoney?
Sure. What I always try to convey to new users or even existing users of the platform is that we really have your bases covered no matter what the option is or what the situation is, rather. The first option most people use is estimating from income, where we'll just do just that. The users have the ability to enter in work history, and it'll project, I believe it goes back to age 22. The second way would be the full retirement age, where the user or the end client can go to ssa.gov and get their actual full retirement benefit. You can put that in, and then what's really great is that the user can just pick the year that the benefit is going to begin. We'll do all the multiplication in the background for you. The third option would be to do manually at a specific age. Usually this is going to be reserved for people that are already collecting Social Security. And there are options if the person is exempt or otherwise not eligible as well. What I like to focus on in the coaching calls, though, is how we can double check the person's work by looking at a report like the income report through the cash flow.
Yep, Jeff, you are exactly right. I completely agree with you. Depending on where you are at with your client, if they have given you a lot of detailed information, if you've established that rapport where the client feels confident to give you their actual FRA benefit, that is ideal. And also, if you're not quite there with the client, or if they just have yet to set up that account or portal at the ssa.gov website, we have that estimated from income option and a couple others to reflect just whatever situation the client is in. So thank you for that. And again, you know, that benefit of getting the FRA amount that you alluded to, when we start changing when the benefit actually begins in the software, we do all that complicated multiplication that you mentioned to adjust the benefit in accordance with what the Social Security Administration does. For simplicity's sake, it's roughly an 8% increase or decrease for each year that you either take your benefit early or delay. But again, e-money will take care of the actual very nuanced calculation and determine the appropriate benefit that way. Let's talk more about the actual planning process and efficiencies. So in your coaching conversations, Jeff, do you find any particular situations where a new user questions or maybe analyzes, you know, the benefit types a little bit more and maybe asks you certain questions?
Yeah, Brett, absolutely. The question we get most often is about the system's estimated benefit. So we need to remember that it is an estimate, and we're using this to make a reasonable expectation. It's not going to be the exact benefit. That said, again, we can reference the reports to double check and see what those projections are to get very, very close. We do also have the ability to enter in the latest year worked. But even when populating in these fields, we're still working with an estimate. So if the estimate isn't desired, we have a couple of other options. We always recommend to obtain the client's FRA benefit, the full retirement age amount. For anybody not currently taking benefits, this can be found via the helpful link in the help box over to the right when you're looking at the Social Security inputs in the advanced facts. The person can log in into the source and get it right from the horse's mouth and obtain the anticipated benefit that they're going to receive. If this is not possible, and again, if we disagree with our estimate, we can always also enter in manually at a specific age amount, and we can put in whatever amount we feel is going to be more appropriate. I also get users that want to use this way to put a damper on the expectations of Social Security if we feel a little bearish about it. They'll use it for this as well sometimes.
Interesting. So I might pick your brain a little bit more on that topic. But yeah, I could not agree with you more. If we don't like what our estimate is, we do have those other options. And oftentimes it makes sense to pursue some of those other options. So let's talk more about the timing for benefits, because sometimes this does come up in our training facilitations, and I imagine on your coaching calls as well. In most cases, the earliest that someone can begin their normal retirement benefits is at age 62. However, as we know, there are always exceptions to the rule and certain circumstances that can allow an individual to begin receiving Social Security benefits before age 62. So even though these can be rare, how would you recommend accounting for these benefits, again, for anything received before age 62?
Great question, Brett. And yeah, with if you've ever had a coaching call with me, you've probably heard me say, like, let your imagination be the limit. We can model or plan just about anything. And if we don't have it specifically built out, there's going to be a workaround almost all the time. In this particular case, I think the easiest way or the most popular way would be to add two other, quote unquote, other income streams, one of them being taxable and one of them being non-taxable. And a good rule of thumb, I believe, is to make about 85% of the total income as the taxable portion.
Yep, I certainly agree with that. It's a common way to kind of get around things, not just for other types of income streams, but we also have other expenses that, again, can be very helpful in these one-off or exception to the rule types of situations. So I think it's important for the audience just to recognize that you have these different types of tools or options at your disposal to get around any hurdles or obstacles that are in your way.
Brett, you've done your fair share of training in this role and others. What kind of questions do you get asked about Social Security? I'm sure you've gone more into the weeds than I.
Just like you said, accounting for exceptions, these things can come up. And so we talked about, again, the ways to have two distinct income streams. You could also use one that's just fully taxable with a tax adjustment that backs out whatever amount that you feel should be non-taxable. You can maybe use a deduction to account for those. It's important though that e-money also allows different ways to override and reduce an entire household's anticipated benefit. You were alluding to this before, and I think it's a great point to emphasize, especially with the news that we're hearing about the state of Social Security and what could happen to benefits going forward, maybe as soon as in 2032 or whatever the year is. But when you're working within an advanced plan, I always like calling out the ability to just reduce the overall household benefit. Okay, you can only do this within an advanced plan. So you can't necessarily do this in base fax. But I think you should definitely consider doing something to reduce, if only for some type of sensitivity analysis that maybe you're just the advisor is performing to just determine, all right, is my client reliant on Social Security? And if so, to what extent? And how much should we maybe look to insulate them from just this reliance on Social Security? Maybe there's some other things that we can do to shift that a little bit. So when what often gets asked in my training conversations too is, well, then how much should I restrict this household benefit? And there is no perfect answer. If I could predict the future, I would be sipping pina coladas on the beach. But until that day comes, we have to just use different assumptions. And you know, in doing some research, I think the percentage that I'm seeing more frequently now is assuming no change in any existing legislation, right? Benefits could be reduced to 83%. That's kind of the typical number or percentage that I'm seeing as far as the potential reduction. So maybe that's a good starting point. We could also try to be a little bit more pessimistic or doom and gloom and say, what if it's only 50% or maybe only 25%? But I think the point here is to use this ability, determine how reliant clients are, and in the situations where it's maybe a little too reliant, maybe there's other things that can be done so that we're not as dependent on that income. But any other thoughts or considerations there you want to add, Jeff?
Yeah, you know, doom and gloom is one way to describe it, but I think it's also just part of being a great advisor, right? Preparing for the unexpected or perhaps maybe expected, depending on how you look at things. And I think this is a great plug for reasons to use or times to use the what ifs. You know, generally we're going to reserve these for things that are beyond the client's control. In the beginning of the relationships, usually when I'm working with newer advisors, there's a little bit of confusion as to when to do things in plans and when to do what ifs. And you know, sometimes it's just a semantic thing, but in e-money, we say what ifs are things that are curveballs to the plan. So this would be something that clients have almost no control over, except for maybe when to collect. And we can talk more about that and some of my favorite ways to do this as well. But I don't think this is a bad thing at all to explore. I think it's very important, in fact, to explore this with every client.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're not doing some of that analysis, your client most likely is not. And it can be a missed opportunity to position some type of solutions or ways to, again, circumvent just that reliance. Maybe there are abilities to get more assets to manage over, maybe some fixed income products to kind of fill some gaps for income. But yeah, that's all good stuff. And I think if you're not doing it, you're missing out on an opportunity to do so.
Yeah, and maybe the clients can do fine without the Social Security income. And, you know, the secure income report in the Decision Center would be a great one to help clients visualize this. And at the end of the day, if we're able to show the client that they don't need the Social Security income, don't feel like that's a bad thing or providing no value. You know, the reason most clients are working with an advisor in the first place is because they want that peace of mind. And what better way to show them than to show them, hey, you're fine no matter what.
Absolutely. I'm glad that you brought up the secure income report. I feel like sometimes this gets overlooked. So again, it's found in the retirement family of reports. We have a little guaranteed income page here, and we also have some other views in Decision Center that reference secure income. And it can really provide clients more peace of mind, knowing that in my retirement years, I have X percent of all of the expenses that I need on a monthly or annual basis covered from known or guaranteed sources. Now, I can certainly, and probably you too, Jeff, can appreciate the perspective given the state of what we're hearing about Social Security. I can appreciate the viewpoint that, hey, is Social Security really a guaranteed source of income? For the way that we have built the software, we do consider it that guaranteed piece. So sometimes I do hear a little pushback in my training facilitations that, well, I don't think Social Security should be even included there. I can appreciate that. However, it is still based off the ability for the government to pay out benefits, which at this point they still haven't missed anything. So I do think for the time being, it is wise and makes sense for us to keep it as a guaranteed income stream. But just wanted to call out that there can be other opposing perspectives, and that's not lost on us. But the current way that the software is designed, the logic that is used, is going to capture that as a guaranteed source. But it's still important to take this back to the client, give them that peace of mind so that they know that they're not as reliant on market returns and whatnot, that they have certain forms of income that they know will be coming in day to day to day.
Right. And like you said, this is not a crystal ball. You know, we're just using the tool and the illustrations to help educate the client and explore future timelines for the client. And you know, I was coached to just kind of go wherever the best answers are. And if Secure Income Report isn't one that you want to go down that rabbit hole with the client, then you know, we don't need to pull that screen up either. So, but yeah, there's definitely opposing views, and we can go wherever the best answers lie in the software.
We try to keep the conversations here relatively short and sweet. I know we're hitting a pretty good vein in terms of just the planning considerations around Social Security, the best ways to demonstrate better approach to a client, or reasons to delay or reasons to take early. I mean, obviously other things will come into the equation, just like life expectancy and just general health. But generally speaking, there's still so much conversation that you can have with the tools and abilities that eMoney offers in terms of capturing and modeling Social Security strategies. So appreciate the time that you've given so far. We're going to be close to finishing up the conversation, but I figured, Jeff, to give you another chance to share anything else with the audience regarding Social Security, eMoney that we haven't quite hit yet.
Yeah, it seems once we get started, we can really spend a lot of time here, right? But I think one of my favorite little hidden gems in the software is to utilize the basic techniques to show different combinations or permutations of when to collect, depending on how many plans or what ifs you might have built for a client. So look into using those basic techniques multiple times for Social Security in particular. You'll find that you get a little radio button instead of the checkbox. So you can kind of have like mini plans within a plan. And if you are not quite sure what I'm talking about, our customer support, world class. And a little plug for us, if you type in coach into the help menu, your guys' success is truly our success. We're here to help.
Thanks for sharing that. Yeah, I think oftentimes folks maybe aren't aware of all the various resources and teams and people that are at eMoney that, hey, it, like you said, if our users are successful, then we're going to be successful. So we want to try to embolden and educate and inform our advisors and users as much as possible. So thanks for sharing that. And definitely, if you're listening, if you haven't yet, please consider consulting or coordinating a time with a coach. Jeff is phenomenal in what he does, along with Anya and the rest of the crew. And again, they are here along with training, along with e-learning, along with so many areas of our client services department to help promote sound financial planning and help you maximize your effectiveness with your clients and do the best job that you can. One other little side comment I will make, again, sometimes there are things that you can easily miss in the software. There's also a ability in the basic facts to view a little comparison. So when you're entering specifically in Social Security in the basic view, you'll find a little help me compare benefits link. If you click on that, we create a little PDF that shows the annual benefit, cumulative benefit both for both client and spouse based off of the current strategy, and then also give some insights on what, again, the annual and cumulative benefits would be if the benefit was taken at different ages. And then we also will include, generally speaking, if your life expectancy for your client and spouse, if it falls into this range, it generally is a good idea to take this approach. To be clear, this is not quite an optimizer. It's not necessarily telling us the best strategy. It's just kind of summarizing. And in terms of, sometimes we get this question too, well, how do I determine what the best approach is? What I would encourage you to do is create, like Jeff was saying, maybe in the basic techniques of Decision Center, or model this in an advanced plan and show different ages when the client and spouse are maybe potentially taking their benefits. We can then use a cash flow report to see, okay, what ends with the most in terms of total portfolio assets. I mean, I think that's a good measure. We could also layer in a Monte Carlo analysis to see if we're generally finding a higher likelihood or probability of success in one claiming strategy versus the other. So there might be a little bit of work just to analyze and put some of those plans of action together, varying again when the benefit will begin. But it can be a very useful exercise. It's typically going to be always specific to the client and unique to them, right? But I would encourage you to certainly try doing that. If you don't want to quite yet use it with a live client, by all means, use one of our available sample clients. They're great for doing testing and drilling. And again, like Jeff said, if you'd like to set up a further conversation with members of the coaching team, please go to the help menu and just type in coach, like Jeff said. If you'd like to attend some of our live training review sessions, encourage you to register for a session in the training link as well. And that way you can just get the most out of all the resources here at eMoney who are vested in your success. Well, I know you're a busy guy these days. We all are, and that's a great problem to have. So at this point, we're going to bring the conversation to a close. But that said, I again want to say thank you, express just my overall appreciation for your time, for your insights, for just sharing everything that you've come across with Social Security with our audience here today. We'll certainly be remaining vigilant as NOR legislation or news comes to light regarding any changes. And who knows, Jeff, maybe we'll bring you back to talk even more about maybe Social Security changes in the future as well. We'll put a pin in it for now. And again, just want to say thank you for your time, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks, Brett. Thanks, everyone.
Done and dusted. We hope that our conversation has helped you with your own understanding of the different benefit options available in eMoney, what to do when you encounter a client with a unique circumstance, and how to determine how sensitive a client might be to any changes in their anticipated benefits. I again want to say thank you, Jeff, for giving us your time and sharing your insights surrounding Social Security. And of course, we appreciate you, the listener, taking the time again to listen to our episode. We encourage you to leverage all of the available resources in eMoney, especially the training and coaching offerings that we identified in the Learning Center. With all of that said, I'm going to bring this episode to a close. But we look forward to another exciting episode in July. So until then, this is Brett Tharp, signing off for now. Hope you have a great day.